Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you for your goodness. I praise you for your everlasting mercy. I pray for your truth that is here for us to have and hold in our hands today in the Word of God. And it will be here and endure for all generations. Thank you, dear Lord. And Father, I pray for your blessed Spirit who also will never leave us nor forsake us. And I ask for the filling of your Spirit tonight. Just help me by your grace to minister the word to the church tonight, dear Heavenly Father. And I pray for Sister Pat, the nursery, bless her, and watching the children there, Father. And dear God, I thank you for the services this morning, the privilege we had to gather together around the Word of God, Children's Sunday School Hour, Adult Sunday School Hour, Morning Worship Service. I thank you for everyone that came. I thank you for each one here tonight, dear God. And might you speak to our hearts. Might you draw us closer to you and edify your church. And Father, for those who could not be here tonight, might they know we're thinking of them. Might they find a place of solace and prayer before you. And we thank you for each one there as well. So, Father, minister in each heart. Build your church. Help us to be lights here in Corvallis and where we live and around the world through our missionaries. And help us to help our lives to render praise unto your name, dear God, till you call us home. And we look forward to the return of our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Out of the message tonight, through gates of grace, through the glad gates of grace would have been a better title. those preachers that like the alliteration. but they are glad gates. It is good to be a Christian. There's not a better life to be a Christian than to be a Christian. Thank the Lord for loving us, caring for us, and making a way for us to have that fellowship with him. It's amazing that God desired that fellowship, you know, with us. That I think about him creating the world and knowing ahead of time that most would reject. I think he knew ahead of time when Jesus said, you know, wide is the gate and broad is the way leadeth to destruction, and many to be which go in that, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth into life, and few to be that find. I think he knew that before he created the world. And yet he desired so much to have fellowship with us. He says, I'm going to go ahead with this. I'll make a way for all to be saved. I know most won't. And that'll break his heart, I believe. But I will have fellowship with those who do. And what an eternal thing. What a glorious thing. We can be thankful for that. No, I don't believe he picked us. I believe he worked on our hearts like the apostle. He said to the apostle Paul, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So it seems like Paul wasn't converted like that. Well, it seems like he wasn't granted repentance like that. He didn't all of a sudden have a change of heart where now he wanted to come to the Lord, and he could do nothing but come to the Lord. It seems that he was being dragged. And the Bible talks about that's what the drawing is. But there's a working there. There's a pull. There's a give and a take. There's a drawing of God that is resistible in all that. And that's what the Scripture teaches. We're thankful that he does draw us. We wouldn't have a thought about him if he didn't draw us. We understand that. But also the great mystery of the will of man and the sovereignty of God. There's things about that that it's just above our pay grade, folks. And we just need to trust the Lord, amen, and believe his word. He loves everybody. He died for the whole world, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world, and whosoever will may come. And I tell you, they won't be left here without him drawing them. They won't be left here without him convicting them and reaching out to him in some way. They'll have to reject some drawing of God to make their way to hell. And that's why we pray for the lost. Through gates of grace, Psalm 100. What a beautiful psalm. Well, we first see, first of all, tonight through the gates of the Lord, we are safe and secure. What does verse 4 here say? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We think about the idea of gates, and that would be, of course, in the along with the idea of walls and such. We know that in the Old Testament, defense cities in Old Testament times had what? They had walls and gates. It was a place of defense when you were in a city that had walls and gates. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we read about King Asa. God had given them peace and at that time, and therefore Asa said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered, because building the gates and such was a place of security. It was a place of defense. Walls being a good thing. That's a popular subject this day, by the way. Walls. And it's a good thing. It's interesting that how those who feel they need walls where they live don't feel that our country needs walls on its borders. Is that interesting? And by the way, you don't need walls if you're plopped out in the middle of the wilderness and your neighbors are bears and deer. You might need some electric fences, I guess, things like that. But you don't need walls out in the middle where you don't have any violence and crime and all those things. But you need some barriers when you're plopped in the middle of wickedness, don't you? And that's a wise thing. It's for your own safety. It's a very common sense thing to me. And by the way, when we live in a world that's full of wicked thoughts and wicked things that come in, that can come in the eye gates and the ear gate, amen, and wicked things that come out of the mouth gate, amen, that we need to put up what? Walls and some barriers and not allow some things into our eyes, not allow some things into our hearing, not to allow some things to come out of our mouths, and to not allow some thoughts to remain in our heads, amen, and to put up some walls and barriers and have those things. They're good things. They're for our protection. They're for our defense. And we ought to have those. It is a defense. Under revival in Nehemiah's time, Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 2:17, he said, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in. By the way, you don't build walls. He said, you see the distress we are in. He says, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Let us come and build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. And if we don't have proper spiritual walls and gates in our lives, we're going to find ourselves in distress, amen? And problems and struggles, and it's good to have those barriers. I see the children in our church, and I see the grandchildren growing up, and I'm so glad that they're not walking around with their cell phones already. You know, I drive a bus with middle school kids. Some of them are the age of Emily and such, and a little younger. You wouldn't believe the language. You wouldn't believe the things they talk about and yell loudly about from the back of the bus. Breaks my heart. Middle school kids. They're worse than the high school kids when it comes to the filthy language out of their mouths, the subject matter they talk about. It's a shame. And it's the parents' fault. Why? Because they have no gates. They have no walls in their home. And they're turning them over to the schools to raise them. And how we need those in our own lives, not only for our children, our grandchildren, but in our own lives. Even the New Jerusalem is pictured with a wall and gates. Think about that. In Revelation 21 and verse 12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels. You see, they're a keeper of the gates. When you have a gate, you need a keeper of the gate. There were 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 21:24. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Verse 27, Revelation 21. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so this picture of defense, of safety, and security. We can be thankful for the gates of grace, amen, that we come through by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have passed from death unto life through the gates of salvation, amen. John 5:24, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed, past tense, from death unto life. And I'm so glad that gate only swings one way, amen. Once you're in, you're in. And you can't go back out. And because you're in the hand of the good shepherd. You can get a good whooping, but he's not going to turn you over to the wolves, all right? Once you're in the shepherd's fold, it's the shepherd that does the punishing. He doesn't turn you over to the wolves. And we can be thankful for that. He's not going to turn us over to hell. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. My hand, my Father's hand, one and the same. It's all the same. It's good to be in the hand of God. And so we are safe. We are sheltered. We sing that song. I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me. And sheltered safe in the arms of God. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We trust in him, and we go through that blessed gate. And then secondly, I think I might have had another one on it. Yeah. Jesus said, I am the door. There's our gate. He says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so we're thankful for that gate. Through the gates of the Lord, we are safe and secure. And secondly, we see in this psalm here that in the courts of the Lord, we are supplied and strengthened. In the courts of the Lord, we are supplied and strengthened. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Into his courts with praise. We are strengthened and supplied. Supplied and strengthened in the courts of God. Listen to some things the Bible says about the courts of the temple. In the courts of the temple, they built chambers where the tithes and dedicated things for the service of the Lord were stored. In the revival under Hezekiah, Azariah was the chief priest of the house of the house of Zadok. Spoke to Hezekiah and said, "Since the people began to bring the offerings in the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord has blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store." And I want to tell you something. I've had enough to eat, and I have left plenty. If you don't ask me, just tell my wife. I mean, just if you don't believe me, just ask my wife. Let me strike that, reverse it, correct it, whatever you need to do there. Ask my wife if you don't believe me. But I've had enough to eat and plenty left over. God providing, God supplying. As we've been meeting every need, God so often does far beyond what he promises, doesn't he? So far beyond what he promises, so often, but always does what he promises. I think about Nehemiah during that revival time. Children of Israel, Nehemiah 10:39. The children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the chambers. He is Where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters and the singers? And we will not forsake the house of our God. We think about those courts of the temple, how their provisions were kept there. Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell where? In thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By the way, we are a what? Kingdom of priests. We are a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. That's what we are. So in a sense, we are serving as priests as well. We're in the courts of the Lord. He provides our needs. look at Psalm 92, verse 13. Psalm 92, 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So we find strength, we find flourishing in the courts of our God. And our needs being supplied, and God strengthening us, growing us in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's that supply. There's that being strengthened by God, being called into his courts. The Apostle Paul knew that supply. It's amazing how God can supply our heart's need. You see, you can have all your physical needs met and be miserable if your heart's need isn't met. And yet you can have not all your, in a sense, physical needs met and have all your heart's needs met and rejoice in the Lord. It's an amazing thing. When the Apostle Paul was in prison, and the church at Philippi had sent him gifts before, but they had been hindered from doing that for quite some time, and then finally they were able to send a gift to kind of help him out a bit, and Paul wrote Philippians, the letter back to them, thanking them for that, and giving them some encouragement along the way, and Paul in that letter writes in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, he said, I'm thankful for the gift, you've done well, you've given it. Not that I speak in respect of want. I'm not whining about lacking. Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. See, whether your gift came or not doesn't affect my joy, Paul says. I'm glad you sent the gift for you. Because when the opportunity came, you served God. You yielded to God and you did what God called you to do. And you should have done that, what God called you to do. But as far as my joy, it didn't depend on you sending that gift. But my joy became greater because I knew you were obedient and sent it. Not that I speak in respect of one, he says. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And folks, that's something we have to learn. That's not just a gift that all of a sudden pops up and God gives it to us. We have to learn that. And Paul went on to expound on that. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things. Can you imagine that? Any living in Mozambique where it's destroyed, you know, living in Haiti, wherever, everywhere and in all things, Paul. No matter where you plant me, geographically. What conditions you put me in, rich or poor, Paul says, God has been teaching me this by lessons. It didn't come easy. I have learned everywhere in all things that I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Whatever condition God puts me in, he's saying, I can glorify his name and I can be thankful. And he says, but he tells them, he says, notwithstanding, you have done well done, that you did communicate with my affliction. You did right with before the Lord. And he says that. He says, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto my necessity. There's that God supplying those needs. Not because I desire a gift, He says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I'm glad you've learned to give from the heart. I'd have been joyful without it. Paul's saying, he's filled with the Spirit. I might have starved to death here for God, but if that's for his glory, he'd give me the strength to do it. And what an amazing testimony. And so he says in verse 18 in Philippians 4 there, he says, I have all to abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then to that church that had given and been thoughtful toward the missionary, Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't God a wonderful supplier? He's a wonderful supplier. He's a wonderful strengthener. And but our understanding often has to be enlightened to know what the true riches are. Sometimes we have to lose some of the false riches, some of the earthly riches, to realize what the true riches are. Paul writes to Ephesus in Ephesus 1:15, wherefore after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you. By the way, that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, oh my goodness. All the things that Paul prayed for that church, try to find one of them material. It was all spiritual stuff. It all had nothing to do with whether you're rich or poor, healthy, ill. It was all inward spiritual stuff. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We're God's inheritance. That's an amazing thing. God says, I want them. I'm looking forward to them coming. Jesus is refraining from drinking any wine, no grape juice till we have it with him. And what an amazing thing! He's awaiting that day. And Paul says these riches, verse 19, Ephesians 1, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, and all these things. What an amazing thing! And God has provided all these things. Our Lord tells us in Luke 16:11, if ye therefore have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? See, God sometimes tests us out with our material things. When I say our, I mean his. when I say our, I mean his. And he sees how we do with that earthly stuff that fades away, you know, like money and health and houses and lands, that all fades away. He sees how we handle that oftentimes before he deals out the true riches, souls that need to be dealt with, someone we need to help spiritually, some way that we can be used in an eternal ministry, an eternal difference in somebody's life. As we handle those perishing things, he often gives us opportunities to work in the spiritual things, amen, in the eternal things, in those true riches. God wants us to be, in Ephesians 3, strengthened with all might by his spirit in the inner man, Ephesians 3:16. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And amen. That's quite a blessing. God is able to do that with those true riches. In the courts of the Lord, we are supplied and strengthened. Thirdly and finally, in the presence of the Lord, we serve and sing. Amen. In the presence of the Lord, we serve and sing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And that's how our service ought to be. Amen. Hey, listen, this is a Hebrew writing. God always had the whole world in mind. What did he say? Rejoice in the Lord who? All ye lands, everybody, the whole world. He's always had a world message from the beginning. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Through salvation in the blessed Son of God, we're not only safe and secure, we're also supplied to serve in the greatest cause of life. And that is that all lands may rejoice in the Lord, that we may get that message out, to gladly serve, sing, and testify of God's mercy and truth, the salvation he's provided for us in Jesus Christ. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That ought to be that singing heart. Into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. Verse 5 here in Psalm 100. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. And I'd ask us, are we enjoying that? Are we rejoicing in that? Are our hearts singing about that? And how we need to express that joy in our lives. The joy of serving him and of knowing those true riches. You see, the amount of our paycheck and the title of our position are not reliable reflections of our true wealth. Our true wealth is in that which we can't buy with money. It's in that which we can't see. Our true wealth is in that which is in the inner man. And what a wonderful thing. I often ponder what an amazing thought that is, that God is enough. That God says, told to Abraham, like I saw this morning, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. If I am with you, I will be enough. It doesn't matter where you go, what you do, what is around you. You'll get to know me. You'll find that under my wing, being with me it is sufficient. And that truly is an amazing truth. Psalm 84:10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And to have all those riches that some of those in the world have, the psalmist said, I'd just rather be a doorkeeper, but close to God. Praise God, he has given us a great purpose in life. Think about this. It would be a miserable existence to be fully supplied and not know what it's for. Think about this. It would be a miserable existence to have a great cause but no resources to accomplish it. It would be a miserable existence to be given the resources and instructions we need but to have only an insignificant purpose to live for. All of those things would be a miserable existence. And yet, what has God done? Praise God, he has given us the greatest purpose in life to live for and all the resources that we need to fulfill it. What is that purpose? That is to glorify God's name in life and to trust in his grace for all that we need to do that. Whatever it might be, what a joy it is to live for and serve God, and we ought to be serving and singing. Amen. I thought about was thinking about the Lord being our shepherd. He's our door. He's the gate, and kind of praying for illustrations and such. And we got one on the radio. Alistair Begg was preaching on the radio on the way to church. Hadn't got an illustration for this point yet. He talked about the Lord being our shepherd. And talked about raising sheep, and apparently his family had raised some sheep at some times, and I've read some of the things about sheep in the past and how the shepherds cared for them in the Middle East, and oftentimes they would gather and their flocks would mingle, and then and as the each individual shepherd would begin to go their own way, they'd make a sound, hip hop, and the sheep would know those shepherds' voice. Their own shepherd, and those flocks, and in that one field where they all had gathered together grazing, we'd separate out, and you'd see each following their own shepherd. The Bible says in some places they would call them by name, and those sheep would follow their shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. By the way, in that passage, he wasn't talking about how well they follow. He was talking about which shepherd they follow. That, you get the, get that point in that passage. He says, I know them and they follow me. And so those sheep would come out and follow that shepherd. And he talked about his own sheep. He said, now, we didn't name our sheep and such. As a matter of fact, we'd put a little dab of blue grease on the back of their head, you know, and that marked one of our sheep. And then we mixed. He said, they wouldn't come follow us. We'd have to go in among all the other sheep and, you know, kind of drag them out. At halftime, they didn't want to come. He was talking about that. And he said, but you know why that was? He said, that's because we didn't live with them. You see, we just went out once in a while and fed them, and they didn't see us again. We'd go out and bark and hear, they'd not see us again. The biblical shepherd lived with the sheep. Read about Jacob. He lived with them. He was out there in the cold. He was out there, and those sheep and that shepherd had a relationship. They lived together. And they looked at that shepherd as their defender, as their supplier. And it was the presence of that shepherd, because it was there with them all the time, protecting them from the beasts, providing them, leading them to the pastures. It was the presence of that shepherd that gave those sheep peace and joy and gladness. And when that shepherd called, they knew his voice. And they went and they followed him. Isn't that the way our shepherd is? Amen. That's the way our Lord is. See, he lives with us. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my cares. He knows your cares. And he doesn't want us holding a single one of those to ourselves, does he? He says, I want you to cast all your cares upon me, because I'm your shepherd. I'm your shepherd. We are the sheep of what? His pasture. He's the one that takes care of the pasture. He's the one that takes care of preparing for us what we need to feed on. And when we need to go out and get it. And when we need to be protected. He's our shepherd. He's the one that takes care of us. He says, you trust me. You follow me. And as we do that, we'll have the rest that a good shepherd sheep have when they see the shepherd close by. And we have the good shepherd. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, there's so much to learn from that illustration. Being a shepherd, you made both Moses and Jacob shepherds before they led your people. And David, of course, was a shepherd before he led your people, and so many. And Lord, you had that shepherd's heart as you led people. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for being our shepherd. We thank you for the privilege to serve you. We thank you that you have opened the gates of salvation, and that we can serve you with gladness. We can serve you with singing. And Lord, so we ought to. So we ought to be praising your name. Lord, whenever we're feeling blue, whenever we're feeling down, it's amazing what burden will drop if we'll just begin singing a song of praise and of praise to your name, because you're always worth it. You're always worthy of it. And so, Father, it's never a wrong time to do that. And I pray that you'd work in our hearts, that we would realize more and more of your goodness, more and more of your love. Dear God, more and more of your power, more and more of your calling upon us to live for you, and the privilege it is to live for your glory, and to share the things of Christ with another, and to share the Bible truth with Christians, other Christians as well, and how to live, how to follow you. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and Father, keep doing your work in our hearts till you come. God, keep showing us where we need to grow, and keep helping us, Lord, to love you more and serve you with a right heart. And Father, help us just to be careful to thank you and praise you. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.